Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. Favorite us, get us into your inbox, and you can get us each and every day. There's a new podcast updated. I'm happy to bring in my next guest, Julie Grant. She's the host of Opening Statement with Julie Grant on Court TV, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on that Court TV. Julie, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Oh, Rob, it's always great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, you had a lot of arms out there today covering things for Court TV, and then this case, the Kohlberger case, with the victim's impact statements today, and some of them, man... Wow. Impactful.
Oh, isn't that the truth, Rob? What a day it was. It's hard to even, I guess, even start. I mean, where do I begin? I think the one person that stood out the most, I mean, they were all very touching for different reasons. As you know, some of them were more somber, some of them more emotional. I would say the one that stood out the most to me was Kaylee Gonsalves' sister, Olivia. Rob, she was the one, if you didn't get a chance to see it, I know you're a really busy guy, it's worth a look back. She ripped Brian Kohlberger apart. She took a very strong, very accusatory, awesome stance where she took away all his power. She basically reduced him to the nothing, pathetic loser that he is. A failure at life, a failure in academia, and a failure at getting away with murder. And, you know, she pointed out what a failure nobody he was, really taking away the power, holding all the control, and asking him all the questions that we all want to know. I mean, it's like she went through everything that I think everybody at home was nodding along, yes, yes, yes. And then at one point she finally said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, you know, what a coward you are that you attacked my sister while she was sleeping. And guess what? If she were awake, it would have been a far different outcome. If she said something different.
That's a really great paraphrase there.
On your show, Rob. I don't want you to never have me back. But it was strong stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that's and I posted on here, and I was actually speaking offline with a 30-year FBI special agent in charge that said pretty much the same thing I did. It was the most profound victim impact statement I have ever heard from anyone in my career as a homicide detective, and he was a 30-year special agent in charge of the FBI and said the same thing. She was straight up gangster. She said, I will not show you tears. I will not show you me crying. I will not show you anything. Because you were not worthy of that. And how she kept her monotone strict. You're right. She drew every bit of strength, every bit of blood out of his face was just taken. For someone who sat there emotionless throughout the entire proceeding, and I'm talking about Brian Kohlberger, she literally took the air out of that room.
She did. You're right, Rob. She was a shining star for her sister, and I'm sure her family is so proud of her and everybody who has wanted for so long to see this despicable person brought to justice for these senseless killings. It was like we all got to live a bit through Olivia Gonsalves, and I think it was like she said what everybody's thinking. She took his power away, reduced him to nothing. It was beautiful. It was just incredible. I'm with you. And I know you've seen so much in your illustrious career, Rob, and it's sometimes things can feel similar, you know, when you're listening to homicide victims. It's awful when you hear the stages of grief they go through. You're right. This one felt different. The stance she took, it was very deliberate, and it was a wow moment that I think everybody is going to remember for years and years to come. I think Kohlberger is going to be forgotten about, but these victims, because of their strength, they're going to be remembered.
And what's ironic here is I know Brian Kohlberger, you know, went to school extensively for this type of scenario, and I think honestly they're going to be teaching Olivia Stevenson's victim impact statement in courses to come throughout the country.
Oh, that's an excellent point, Rob. I sure hope they do. You know, I think we can all learn something from her. I uh, I do, in my spare time, volunteer works, working, you know, with victims advocacy groups, the National Center for Victims of Crime, and then one based in Western Pennsylvania, great state, and it's called Crisis Center North. And I think you're right. I think there's a lot that can be learned from that. I hope that it goes to academia and to the victims' rights organizations in helping people reclaim their power. Because you know how this is, Rob. You know how when a defendant like this takes something so precious, and here he took four beautiful, precious lives from these families, they will never be the same. They feel so powerless. And I think with what Olivia Gonsalves did, it was almost like she did a role reversal. It was like she took that guy to school and then some. I mean, she ate him for lunch and left no crumbs. And it was just fantastic. And I think, you know, maybe others will draw some inspiration from that. And maybe academics in criminology, when I'm sure his case will be studied, hopefully just to learn, as the judge noted, not to give him any infamy, but just to learn from the pattern of behavior and see if there's anything we can prevent in the future. I think you're absolutely right. I think this will be incorporated.
Yeah, and this case, one of the things I posted earlier today before this even was started to be televised is I give the family and friends so much credit for confronting this animal today. I personally would not give him the satisfaction, nor could I. I don't think I could be in that room. I just know me too well. But to see the different spectrums there, you know, we're talking about Olivia and her statement, but then there was an aunt of one of the victims that said, "I forgive you. If you're willing to talk, I'm willing to listen to what you have to say on why you did this." And just the spectrum of emotion in that courtroom just really shows humanity in a microcosm.
You said that so beautifully, Rob. You're right, because we all process things differently. I'm with you. I think a lot of us kind of are able to align our personal viewpoints with the respective families. And I think personally, I align a lot with the Gonsalves's. I would have been mad as heck, wanted to see the death penalty for him, just furious. And then when I see people who can be so big to forgive someone, I think, wow, that is like next to divine for me. That is just incredible. And I feel like people like that, they're just obviously they have such an emotional restraint. That they can kind of compartmentalize and say, you know what, I'm going to. I remember the late, great Dr. Maya Angelou told me when I interviewed her once that forgiveness isn't for the other person. It's for you, so that you don't carry that weight around. And sometimes I think that victims may feel that way, that, you know what, let me let this go so I don't bear this burden. This is on this killer. He's got to live with it and then die with him knowing he committed these crimes.
And we realize, because we've been in this environment, myself as a detective, you as a lawyer, that people process these things differently, and it needs to be individualized. And there's really no cookie cutter that fits all. And I think that's what was allowed today. I think the judge did a phenomenal job. I mean, there was some applause after some of the statements, which is usually not allowed or tolerated. And he kind of gave some leeway there, but it wasn't out of control. But usually you don't hear those types of things during these victim impact statements.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. You're so right, Rob. The judge, I thought it was excellent, too. I loved what I was so curious to hear what he would say. And, you know, and I loved how he made a couple really important points. And I was so glad he said it, because it was things that I've been thinking about for a long time. And this morning on my show, we were talking about it a bit, about how we want Brian Koberger to be powerless. We don't want him to be in any bit of control. He had enough control already, sadly. And even though victims want answers, and I'm sure you've been through this so many times with all the cases that you've solved, defendants aren't always honest. You know, more times than not, they've been dishonest in my experience. And so it's sometimes like trying to get blood out of a stone. You're not going to be able to get the answers you want. And I loved how the judge said, you know, we don't even know what we'd get from him. And it's another opportunity for him to deceive. And so it was like he kept the power with the victims where it ought to be. And I think, unfortunately, as those detectives acknowledged after the fact, we're just not going to have answers to some things. You saw the press conference, Rob. I'm sure you were the prosecution and all of the law enforcement. servants, you know, were with him, and they all talked about how they worked this case and wanted to identify a motive, and they worked so hard, and just unfortunately, this is one of those cases where they just don't know, and sadly, unless Koberger talks, we'll never know, and can we even believe it if he does talk, right?
Yeah, one of the things, while I was watching it on my TV, I also had my iPad on my table, and I zoomed in just on his face. I wanted to see, and it was kind of just his mouth, his nose, and his eyes. I wanted to see expressions. I wanted to see eye movement. I wanted to see if he cringed at all, and just really nothing for the entire time.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. And he's a tricky one, as you know, Rob. His defense team, they put forth a filing a while back, and they said that and it was to it went to one of the judge's instructions for the jury is the reason for the filing. They wanted a particular instruction. They wanted the jury to know that he is on the autism spectrum and that his affect is not like a person's affect who is not on the spectrum, and that his lack of movement and lack of emotion has to do with his autism spectrum disorder. So that being said, it was part of this motion, and then it really ignited a whole nother conversation with us at Court TV and the various body language experts that come on. And we know, just like you were doing today, I think most people around the country, around the world watching, we're doing the same thing. We're watching for something from him. And it's so hard to know, because, you know, I've always take things with a grain of salt. I'm sure you do too. Just because the defense said it, I don't know if we can believe it. All I'm saying is that they put it in their filing. They swore that this is truth, but I don't know. I'm not his doctor. I don't live with Brian Kober. I have no idea if it's true that he's on the spectrum. So I wonder, is it evil that we're seeing? Is he soulless, gutless, heartless, that he has no emotion? Or is it that it's part of, his autism and his inability to have a reaction that we might recognize as falling in line with the situation.
And again, we're speaking to Julie Grant. She's the host of Opening Statements with Julie Grant on Court TV, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Before I let you go, Julie, one of the things that I saw towards the end, and it was very poignant that I picked up on, and I'm sure you did as well, is the judge was not delaying this any longer. He wanted to get his sentence in. He wanted to make it quick, to the point, and basically, you're gone, and we never want to see you be part of your life again.
You're spot on, Rob. He did. He wants him off to, he's going to this maximum security prison that is apparently one of the worst in the country. So that's a bit of good news for all your incredible listeners. Apparently, it's known for its bad conditions, inmate mistreatment. And so, thank goodness he's being placed there. And, it seemed like the judge was ready to close this case and then now start unsealing the documents. As you know, the docket has been so frustrating for so many people wanting some answers and more information. And it's been, sealed off largely. And really not just from the public, but also, I mean, with the gag order on the case, and it just seems like there's been a lot of secrecy. And we heard Steve Gonsalves speak to that today when he spoke out to the media, Kaylee's dad. And he was saying, you know, thank goodness for what President Trump put out on his social media, the pressure to say to the court, hey, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing the president's message, but it was essentially, can't the judge do something to make this guy speak and make this guy give us the why? And Steve Gonsalves credited the president, and he said, you know, after the president put that message out, we saw the detectives calling us, and they were giving us information, and we were on the phone for hours and hours getting more information than we had before. So thankfully for that, it seems that we're seeing a shift, and so the Gonsalveses acknowledged it with President Trump's statement, and it seems that the judge, Judge Hippler, the presiding judge on this case, is ready to start going through those documents and unsealing them now that we finally have a disposition. So If there's anything else really pertinent that you think your listeners would be interested in, I'm happy to come back on anytime. Your show is awesome, and you're awesome, Rob. I appreciate you having me today.
Well, was it once I knew the victim impact statements were going today, I reached out to you earlier to see if you were available today. Thankfully, you were, for your expert opinion on this. Julie Grant, host of Opening Statements with Julie Grant on Court TV, 8 o'clock Eastern time in the morning. Thank you for joining us, Julie.
Rob, you're the best. Thank you.
All right.